four, three, two, one. Liftoff.
This is The Verse, a weekly dive into the cinematic universes and beyond. We'll dissect the latest episodes, films, and news all fans from veterans to noobs are dying to know more about. Now, here's our team of pop culture superheroes we call The Verse Squad.
Welcome to The Verse.
Now this looks like the door.
Not sure about that. Dorothy mentioned Huey, but this door is in French. It says, Jacquard.
Wait, are you kidding? It says Jack Quaid, Norm.
Yep, like I said, it doesn't sound anything like Huey.
That's because Jack Quaid is that awesome actor who plays Huey on the hit Prime video series, The Boys.
Oh. But this says Jacquard.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know what? Just hit the button.
Look, guys. It's Huey from The Boys. Talented actor and voiceover artist Jack Quaid.
See?
Told you.
Then why did the door say Jacquard?
Oh, my God. Okay, forget it, Norm. Let's just go talk to him.
Hello, my name is Emilia, and so we're all big fans of The Boys on our podcast, and we've talked about it a lot, and so this is big for us. I'm struggling to not be starstruck, but my first question.
You guys are amazing. Thank you for watching the show, talking about the show, all of it, seriously.
Oh, we could do it forever.
Oh, I thought Emilia was talking about me. I'm like, we work with each other.
I didn't want to say anything, but I was very starstruck to meet you. Yes.
So question one, I guess, how did you get involved in the world of The Boys? Now, I know you're a self-stated nerd, so which is awesome. Okay. So we all are as well. So were you already a fan or comic book?
I did not know about the comic book series at the time. Basically, it came through as an email, as a potential meeting. Really, it was like, hey, there's this show that they're cooking up over at Eric Kripke's cooking up over at Amazon. Take a look at the pilot script. And if you like it, you know, we can get a meeting with the two of you. I read it and I, again, didn't know it was based off a comic book series. I just thought that he wrote an amazing story about America, modern day America, and then just inserted superheroes into it. And I just thought I had to be a part of this thing. You know, if not Huey, I wanted to be, you know, some fan in the stands cheering for, you know, A-Train or whatever. Like I needed to be a part of this. And so basically, you know, it all came together really well. Like I had that meeting, then I had to do like a series of auditions just to make sure that I was the right fit for it. I did a chemistry read with Erin Moriarty. I think she was like the first one cast. And that was wonderful. And then I got to be in front of Eric and Seth and Evan. And that was the most intimidating experience of my life, because just that room was just full of my heroes and just me trying to just get this part that I just love so much. I love the story. I feel like I really connected with Huey. And then to be auditioning in front of heroes of mine was very intimidating, but thank God it worked out. Seth Rogen actually stepped in to read as Butcher during my audition.
Nice.
And that was,
what's that like?
The most surreal. He has a very, I don't know if you guys are aware, but he has a very distinct voice.
yeah. No, I don't.
No, but he
even,
you know,
better distinct laugh as well.
Yeah. No, that was the thing. I was so nervous about that audition, and I was like pacing in the hallway at this like office building, and I was early. None of the people had really gotten there yet who were going to see me. And then in the distance, I just hear, like, you just hear his laugh. And I was like, oh, he's coming. But no, I mean, like, he wasn't doing an accent. He was just like, we're going to get him in the boot and then we're going to bugger off. Like, he was just saying Cockney slangisms. And I was like, what is my life? Where am I? And then, you know, a few weeks later, I found out that I got the job, and I don't think I've ever been happier about anything in my entire life. Like I was over the moon to be a part of the show, just because I knew it was going to be something special. And here's the thing. We shot it and I knew I liked it. However, I knew that it was a big swing and I knew that it was really violent and I knew that it might not be everybody's cup of tea. So I was a little, when it was coming out, I was a little bit like, okay, I love it, but who knows if the world, turns out the world is just as sick as I am and I love it. And I couldn't be happier for all the fans that have checked it out and made it what it is today, because we wouldn't be here without you guys. So thank you.
So were you familiar with Kripke's work before this?
A little bit, yes. I had not watched Supernatural yet, but a bunch of my friends had, and you know, they were up to date with it, you know. And they were, when I told them I had a meeting with Eric Kripke, they were like, "The guy, the Supernatural guy? Are you kidding me?" Like, they were so pumped for me. Yeah, no, I was aware that he was just like a genius, you know. Mm-hmm. And then seeing him work on our show and seeing how funny he is and how quick he is. And how he really does let the actors not only improvise, but have real story input. You know, I mean, obviously, if we have a bad idea, he vetoes it. But the fact that he lets us, you know, email him with whatever thoughts we have, it really lets us take ownership of our characters in a real way. And it feels, especially in the beginning, figuring that out is with him is so pivotal. You know, we like the Billy Joel thing was kind of a hodgepodge of my improvisation and Eric like suggesting things on the day. Like, it was my first day of shooting. It's the scene where Butcher and Huey are talking about putting a bug in the Seven Tower. Mm-hmm. And I think I improvised some line. Dan Trachtenberg was very into like adding a line to whatever at the end of every, you know, line that you say. So I said something about, what was it? It was, you know who my favorite musician is? James Taylor. I don't infiltrate. It was something like that. And then Kripke was like, okay, that was good, but make that a list. Make that like James Taylor, Simon Garfunkel, Billy Joel. And then mm-hmm. something about Billy Joel just stuck. And then the next day I had to shoot the scene where Robin dies. And the line originally was, she says something about like, oh, we're not going to just spend every day of our lives in your bedroom looking up at that Led Zeppelin poster. But because we had done that thing on the day before, we changed that to Billy Joel. And then Billy Joel just became this like, you know, don't you ever besmirch Billy Joel. Like, it just became this.
Listen, as a Long Island boy, yeah. Sir William Joel, I mean, mad respect for that.
Sir William Joel, knighted by
knighted by us from Long Island boys. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. No, I mean, like, that's the kind of stuff that he lets you kind of weigh in on. And it's magical. It's really, really cool.
So were you always like in your mind, you were auditioning for Huey. You were never kind of like also potentially getting a soup role or something like that?
No, it was always Huey for me.
Okay, I figured.
I don't think I ever really, I think a few other members of the cast might've like been one thing or the other thing when they were going through audition process. But I think for me, it was always, you know, Huey. I think I did this pilot for Amazon called Sea Oak that didn't get picked up. But I think Eric saw that and saw something in me that kind of reminded him of this version of Huey. But then I panicked when I read the comic books and I was like,
you're like, that Simon Pegg, like obviously.
Yeah. That looks nothing like me. It in fact looks like a hero of mine, who I think is amazing. So that was so intimidating. But then bringing him on, that's why I read the comics, just to get the spirit of that character, knowing I would look nor sound nothing like him. But then bringing him on to play my dad was wonderful. And we continue to be like great friends. Like, I can't believe I actually got to meet and befriend one of my like all time heroes. Mm-hmm. So it's all been just a stroke of amazing luck for me.
So on the season three, which was I can't believe you guys went further.
Was
than,
a lot.
Yeah,
it was a lot. Yeah.
To say the least. Huey gets to take Temp V and gain superpowers. But so does Butcher. And they both experience it in very different ways. When you were reading it, what was your hope to convey about Soup Huey being different than regular Huey?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think I talked about it a lot with Kripke. And what I love about this season for Huey is that his dark side shines out a little bit, which I think is actually really a good thing for a character that's supposed to be like the good guy, the moral center, the, you know, the everyman hero. I think that if you really want an audience to to sympathize with a character or think of that character as like the good guy, you need to give that character an opportunity to fail and then learn from that mistake and then you know, see a whole new world after that and change. So that was, 10th V was the opportunity to do that, because when he takes temporary V, you know, his dark side comes out. And I loved showing that, you know, Huey is kind of dealing with a toxic masculinity thing this season. And I think it's because he's a character that has consistently in every season of the show been the least powerful one. And that's weighing on him. And he's, you know, not only is he jealous of like Supes, but he's starting to get jealous of Starlight. You know, and I loved that there was this device that, you know, once he injected himself with, you know, he gets powers and they're embarrassing as fuck. And they're really, you know, I love Nightcrawler. He's my favorite X-Men. So it's a cool power to have. He's amazing. I'll get naked for Nightcrawler powers any day, but
same.
But I love that it had this emotional cost. You know, he's sinking further and further into, you know, his ego essentially. And I loved showing that journey, especially with Butcher, because I think that Huey's doing this to feel better about himself, and Butcher is doing this so that he can kind of achieve his goal. Like, you know, he's not really thinking about the consequences until Huey gets into the picture. So for in the middle of the season, they're kind of each other's enablers. And then towards the end of it, Butcher, you know, his heart grows two sizes that day. And he basically wants to make sure that Huey doesn't suffer the same fate as he does, because, you know, now they're in this together. So it's a good little moral move for Butcher. And I love that Huey can see that he saves him, even though he punches him right in the face in a gas station. But I love that he can see that. So yeah, getting to play those scenes with Carl, getting to dip into a different side of the character that I think ultimately shows him to be a better person than he was at the top of the season, and having it all in this crazy superhero superpower mixing pot, I just thought was so wonderful to play. So shout out to Eric and the writers for really coming up with something good.
So my next question is a bit of an interesting one.
Yes,
when I first started watching this, I found Huey to be like truly one of the most compelling characters, because he's so likable. He's this nice guy, but he's obviously got all these layers to him that get to be explored over the three seasons that we have so far. But one of the things that struck me the most is Huey is really good at, like, you are really good at like freaking out as Huey. So I'm kind of wondering, like I'm not an actor. I don't know how to freak out on command, but like, what's the secret? Like, is that informed by your sketch comedy days?
Oh, man, maybe a little sketch comedy. Yeah. I mean, I think really the key, you know, Huey's role in the show is to be like the most human one, you know, and that's another reason why I like that he got powers, so that he can explore, you know, the other side and then realize that, you know, strength as is portrayed in media or like through someone like Soldier Boy, who's all about like, I'm a man and I'm strong, you know, that isn't real strength. Vulnerability, you know, kindness, all things that some people think of as a weakness are in fact a strength. And that's like the secret little message of the show. But when it comes to freaking out, you have to be the most human person in the room, and you just have to put yourself in the position of like really listening and taking in everything that's happening, because everything I'm doing, I don't think I'm acting that hard. I think I'm just trying to imagine if I was really in this scenario where someone explodes, like we're all having a normal ass day, and then someone's head explodes. How would you that's a preposterous thing. I'm starting to freak out right now thinking about it. So you just, you know, you need to put yourself in that headspace. And it's, I think it's pretty easy because our visual effects team is so good. And so they very much value the practical effects. So a lot of the times things are actually hitting you in the face, and you can actually see, the thing that's happening. You don't have to imagine it. So that's wonderful. And they have all these like prosthetic bodies and body parts that just feel so real. Like in that first episode, when I'm holding Robin's hands, I kid you not, they felt warm to me on the day. And I don't know how they did that. Maybe I was just putting my own spin on it. Maybe I was living in my own reality for a second, but they felt warm to me. I don't know how they did that.
That was a pivotal moment. That's the hook of that first mm-hmm. episode.
That was a crazy thing, because I remember when the show, when we were filming the show and before the show came out, I was trying to tell my friends what the show was about. And it was really hard for me to like elevator pitch it to them. I was like, it's a show about superheroes if they existed in our world, but they're the bad guys. I'm not a superhero. I work in an electronics store, but here's the thing. Like it was too long of an explanation. But if I just told them about that scene, they were like, oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. The Flash can run through people in this universe. Done.
One of the things I loved about season three is, like you were saying, Huey finally gets these powers. So it meant you finally got to do some stunt work. And I got to tell you, as like a guy that comes from the action world, I really am impressed with all of the different choreography and all the effects. It feels almost like in a cinematic level for TV. But so what was it like for you now to finally step in and get to do some of this like superhero stunt work?
Oh, man. I mean, it was a dream come true. I mean, all I really had to do was like shove a guy. And, you know, when I first joined the show, I had a whole like stunt tutorial that was all about how to get hit and how to fight badly. So the fact that I got to like punch a train or shove Homelander, like they're little things, but they meant a lot to me. But all of the credit for how wonderful the fight scenes were in season three has to go to our incredible stunt team. But the head of that is John Koyama, who is an absolute legend. He's still with us. He's still helping us out. And the stuff, I mean, I can't spoil season four, but the stuff that he's done is absolutely insane. And I think tops everything you saw in season three. He is a genius and such a sweet guy, and could probably kill you in an instant if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. You know what I mean?
Heads would explode, I'm sure.
Yes, but we felt, everyone felt so safe working with him. And even like the littlest things, like stuff you wouldn't, you know, I recently got injured on a different job, just like running down a hallway. It's almost never the thing, Lucas.
Yes.
It's never the big like thing with the explosion in the background and like the guy roundhouse kicking you to the face. Like that's never the thing that hurts you. It's like,
no, you walk into the light on the way off a set and that's when you get injured.
That's exactly what it is. I essentially ran into a dolly and bruised some ribs. Like it's not fun. But you know, even with the little stuff, John was there. And you know, there's a scene in the beginning of season three where I'm watching Victoria Newman explode that guy's head, and I think they have a little fight and he gets thrown into the trash bin that I'm hiding behind, and the trash bin like moves an inch towards my face. That's it. It's really nothing. But John was even there like making sure that I was safe and good, and you know, that we had rehearsals. And I cannot give that man enough credit. He deserves everything. He was so great.
We can't talk about season three and not talk about Herogasm, because that was not only insanely popular with the show fans, but also the comic book fans. Big time. And I got to talk to Jensen last week about it, and he told me you got a real good kick out of his first day on set.
I can still see it in my head. It's so funny.
he told me he made the face he made. You had you almost doubling over laughing. But
I don't know if we're talking about the same thing. But I just remember his first day. He's in the full Soldier Boy getup, and I think like Jensen is maybe one of the most professional people you'll ever work with. So nice, so genuine, so sweet. Doesn't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable ever. So he is. He's just standing there in his with the shield and just looking like surrounded by naked people and just looking right to the ceiling. Just like, yep.
That's exactly what he said.
Like just like he probably only saw the ceiling, and then they yelled action and he like lowered his eyes and probably only focused on what he had to. And then he went right back up to the ceiling. It was kind of spectacular. But shout out to Jensen, man. He rules. That was such an insane episode to shoot, because I had read all the comics and I read the Herogasm episode, And we don't even go as hardcore as that goes, no. But it was still, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
It's especially for Huey. But no, I loved our spin on it. I loved one of my favorite quotes I've ever heard was just from a crew member. I don't even know who said it. I just overheard in the background, like, oh man, I got the lube station confused with the hand sanitizer station.
No.
It was so, so weird.
It was COVID times, I guess.
It's a cursed time. Sentence.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's stuck with me. It's stuck with me over the years. But it's a weird thing because I had this power where I had to be naked a lot. And it's so weird the first time you do it. And the first time I did it was that scene in the Russian lab where he teleports for the first time. And I'm surrounded by like everyone else is clothed, cast, crew, everyone. And that's like most people's worst nightmares. And then to do that, you know, a few more times and then get to Herogasm, I felt so comfortable in Herogasm because I was like used to being naked and I'm surrounded by naked people. I wasn't the only one. So it was really, really great. And all those background performers were some of the most professional people I've ever worked with, like period. Like no one wanted to make anybody feel uncomfortable. You know, they covered up in between takes. They were like, no, everyone was amazing. But what I really love about that episode is that it's this kind of like weird Trojan horse of an episode because it hooks people in with how crazy it is and how like depraved it is. And then it's like some of the most hardcore character building we've done ever on the show. Like I'm just speaking from Huey's perspective, I get to finally confront A-Train. I get to like Starlight and I essentially break up. And then I get to be involved in like a huge fight with Butcher, Homelander, and Soldier Boy, you know, and Butcher and Homelander actually finally come to blows for the first time in the show. So it's this weird, weird thing where like everyone is like kind of talks about the sex and the depravity, but then it's like all of the like hardcore emotional moments are in that episode as well. So it's, for me, it's like, I think the writers killed it. I think it's one of our best episodes. It might be my favorite one to this day.
It's so funny. We discussed that on our podcast, how we're like, yeah, this was so cleverly done where it was like all this marketing around the sensationalism. And yet it was one of the most, yeah, it was like you said, the Trojan horse, the human of it. And I did love that. Talk about great writing and great performances. Like one of my favorite scenes of the entire season was the you and Starlight. The fact that you're like new. Yeah, because you're naked together. There's something so symbolic about this, right? Like you have to bare yourself completely to each other. And it was just such the ramp up of that scene was just wonderfully done. I was just curious, like how you approach that. Obviously being naked helps, I imagine.
Yeah, it's such a weird, well, I mean, like we're kind of naked together. So it's kind of like we're both feeling very vulnerable. And I think that kind of lends itself to the scene. Aaron Moriarty is maybe my favorite scene partner of all time that I've ever worked with, because I don't know what it is with us. We're able to kind of just know what the scene is about and know what the other person is going to do. You know, we still do talk pretty extensively about every scene before we go in and we shoot it, but now we're able to kind of just look at each other and know what the other person's going to do. And that scene was so great because we had been playing in the beginning of the season. We were like together. Starlight and Huey were together and they were like happy. You never see, you know, of course it's all a lie because Huey's working for Newman or whatever, but for a second, like they're happy. And then to show them at their worst after them at their best was so interesting. And I loved the journey they went on, much like with Huey, where you don't truly root for someone until you see them fall and then learn from their mistakes. I don't think you root for a relationship until you see it, you know, falter and it, sunlight's the best disinfectant. You see exactly where all the problems are. And then the two characters were able to learn from it and stay together and grow. I thought that was beautiful. So getting to work with Aaron this season was definitely a highlight. That was awesome.
So that was a great answer. And it's really interesting to us watching his audience and getting to get some insight into like how the scene was actually done. Pivoting slightly, how do you feel about getting covered in guts, I would say on average twice a season, maybe more, probably more. And do you ever get used to it?
No, you never get used to it. I think what people don't realize about it is like, it's so sticky. It's the stickiest shit you've ever been. It's so shitty to be in.
How many takes, how many times does it, like, for one scene?
So here's the deal. It is fine if you know, typically what happens with Huey is that he'll get covered in blood and, you know, he'll have a little reaction, and then they'll cut away to some scene with, like, the Deep or something. And then when they cut back to Huey, he's, like, you know, he's cleaned himself up a little bit. And what that means for little old Jack Quaid is that I just get to do it, like, the one time where they shoot the blood at me and we get the reaction. If we get it in that take, great. I don't have to do it again. Maybe I have to reset and do it one more time. That's fine. The worst time that it was the worst blood instance was the whale into the sewers.
Oh, of course. In season 2,
because it's the most amount of blood that's ever been on me to be in the whale. I'm sticking to the walls, and then there's no time cut. You know, we just go, we follow us right into the sewers. So what that means for little old Jack Quaid is that for 2 weeks, me, but also, like, Butcher and MM, all of the boys are just, we have to come in every day and get blood not sprayed on us with a big cannon, but meticulously put on us. And then for the rest of the day, we are sticking to everything. We can't touch our phones. We can't lay down, because whatever we lay down on will stay with you. I remember I brought, like, a little napkin into my trailer just so I could, like, lay down for 2 seconds. And then it, like, just followed me. It was just like this little ponytail I had. Your hair becomes, like, hardened like a helmet. Thankfully that wasn't so much the case in season 2 for me. In season 3. In season 3, if anything, I think it kind of flipped. Like, MM kind of became the guy.
Yeah,
covered in stuff, and I was like, "You do you, man. I'm good over here."
Covered in stuff.
I couldn't be naked and covered in blood. You know, I had to. We had to pick a line.
There's always season 4, right?
Well, there's always season 4. The things you'll see.
Can't wait.
Well, I believe you told a story at Comic-Con of tricking Laz into believing the whale was air conditioned.
We didn't trick him. He just thought that it was. No, wait. Because I know I didn't do it. Probably Carl said something, I'm assuming. That sounds like him. He was just like, it was going to be air conditioning in the whale. Like, he probably said something to that degree. But I don't know. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it got to the point where Laz and I are doing a scene in the whale, and it's hot and it's sticky, and they're using, you know, essentially sugar for all the fake blood. So constantly, it's that time. Like late summer East Coast, where, like, the hornets are out. Like, they are dying and they're out and they're looking for sugar. And we were the most amount of sugar within like a 50-mile radius. So we were just hornets in there, and it's hot and sticky and we can't move. And then Laz and I are both kind of like, okay, we've been in here for a while. And at one point he just goes, hey, can we get some AC in the whale? Which is, like, the greatest sentence ever uttered. I also love every scene I have with Laz, too, because I think we're, much like Aaron, we're very much able to pick up on each other's energies very easily. But when he said that, I just lost my mind. That was so funny. Oh, man.
No, Laz is great. He's also one of my favorite characters. It's really hard to choose a favorite.
No, it really is.
The boys.
I mean, I love being part of an ensemble like this, you know, and I love that no two characters are alike, like, at all. There's no, like, no one has any similarities to each other. And I love it. I also love that, I mean, I don't love it, but like, there are certain characters that have never had scenes together. That's how big this cast is. Like, I have never had a scene with Chase. And I really want one, because I think that Huey obviously knows what the Deep did to Starlight. And I think the Deep would be so weird around Huey, and Huey would be so weird around the Deep. And I want that to happen. But, like, Chase and I, we're good friends, you know, off the show, but it's, I very rarely ever get to see him work. And I think he's a genius. So
you could improvise something together. Oh, I don't know if that's a thing that actors do.
We could, yeah, just improvise something, just, you know, hang out, grab a coffee. No one's filming it. We're just improvising.
Yeah. As the Deep and Huey
No, but Chase and I, we bond over 2 things: Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild and The Bachelor, and that's our
amazing.
Obviously,
those two
things go together.
Oh yeah, that's us.
Like peanut butter and jelly,
big time.
I need to ask this because we're huge fans of Star Trek, and obviously Lower Decks is one of the greatest things to come out in Star Trek maybe ever. But anyway, I just had to ask that. Can you tell us a little bit about that, especially about the crossover coming up, and how it is kind of to translate your acting into voice acting, which is two very kind of separate but equal skill sets.
And then back again to live action.
That was a bit of a trip. That was a bit of a, I think I've sworn before, that was a bit of a mind fuck. That was awesome. I'm literally looking at, this is my living room, my little dining room. I have a little Boimler coaster.
Oh, nice.
It's adorable.
It's so great. No, I mean, Boimler to me is like, you know, he's up there with Huey. Like, I feel like they're just some of the characters that I love playing so much, favorite characters to ever play. And then to get the opportunity to do a live action version of him was so awesome. And, you know, I'm so happy I get to talk about it. I got the purple hair. I got to actually be on practical Star Trek sets and, you know, meet that amazing cast and work with Tawny Newsom, who's become such an amazing friend of mine. The crazy challenge with that was we knew the characters. We knew them kind of backwards and forwards, but simply from a vocal, I shouldn't say simply, but only from a vocal perspective. And then it was a really cool challenge to bring those characters to live action. What is it to be a live action cartoon? What is too much? What is just right? I really try to lean into physicality as much as I can. I would rewatch Lower Decks episodes to look at little Boimlerisms, like what the artists who animate the show, what they have Boimler do in terms of physicality. So I got a couple of things in there that I'm sure. Yeah, Eagle.
Oh, I'll be looking out for it for sure.
We'll pick up on. But I think the thing that really makes that episode work is Jonathan Frakes directing it, which, first of all, come on. What a legend. And, you know, I consider him a friend, and he's been nothing but kind to me and Tawny. And it was so great to have him direct that episode because he was all about having fun. And he would tell you if it was too much, but he really encouraged you to go as far as you possibly could. And I think that we really did, you know, hit the right balance of you know, live action, toning it down just a little bit, but still keeping the spirit of the cartoon. So that episode is very fun. And what I like about it is that it's just it's a comedy. It's just a straight up comedy. It's shenanigans. It's silliness. Strange New Worlds has had comedic episodes, but it was so interesting to bring this kind of new tone into the show.
Yeah. I mean, Star Trek embraces all genres. So
it really does.
Yeah. We're so excited for it, man. I just got to say.
Thank you. No, I'm so happy for those guys. And I actually, when we were shooting that episode, that was when the first season was coming out. And like the reviews were coming in, and it was so cool to see everyone on that set like get to react in real time to how well the show was doing. And so I wish them all nothing but the best. Ethan Peck and I have become like besties. He's incredible. Working with him was, get ready for Spoimler. That's all I'm going to say. He's incredible.
Spoimler. I love that. Yeah. We can't wait to see that. I think we have time for one more question. Yeah, and so you've been a part now as an actor of a lot of different fandoms. I actually first saw you in the Hunger Games, which, wow, what a trip it's been since then.
In a minute. Yeah.
But for yourself, what are you personally nerding out about lately?
Ooh, I mean, I brought it up earlier, but Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, the new one. There we go. He's got the map. Norm's got the map.
Oh my goodness.
That's so detailed.
Yeah.
Well done. No, that one, that I'm playing that. I've been trying to get in some hours before I go off to do this job. That I'm really into. I've always been the biggest Star Wars nerd as well. Like, it's crazy that I get to be, I'm a huge Star Trek nerd. I'm also, I think you can be both. You have enough room in your mind for.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That's why we have this thing called the Versecast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because of all these things. Yeah.
No. So I'm just like, oh, the Versecast. That's amazing. I'm verse in both. I kind of geeked out about Andor. I want to rewatch it now because I just thought that was such a good tonally, it was such an interesting way to take Star Wars. And I can't get enough of that show. Yeah. What else am I geeking out about? I got to see Spider-Verse, which I'm like in it.
Speaking
like,
our language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
this is had to come on as a crew, a casting crew for the show, I think.
Oh, man. It was so good. It was such a, like, the way they animated all the different characters and the different styles. I was lucky enough to get to go to the premiere and just take it all in. And it was just like, I'm so happy. Like, this is where we're at in animation now. Because I'm a cartoon nerd as well. Clearly, I have my Boimler coaster in front of me. but they just what they're able to do with that movie was astounding. So yeah, that's what I'm nerding out about right now.
I mean, you are hitting all the things that we nerd out about on the podcast as well, including Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks. We did episodes on both of these shows. We love them all. Everything you've been talking about, like it's. We cover a lot of things on the verse.
Yeah, well done, guys. Oh, wait, one more. It's not so much like a nerdy sci-fi thing, but Barry. You guys watched?
Oh my god,
Barry?
Yeah. HBO? I just finished it. Yeah.
Oh my god, that finale. Bill Hader is a genius, and oh my god, like I
hope he gets feature films now. I really want him to do like his Scorsese.
He's such a good director, such a good actor, such a good, like, I'm just, I don't know. I can't say enough good things about that show.
Well, hopefully he hears about this and he can cast you in his feature that we want him to do.
Make me a little brother, Bill. I'm here. I'm available. Let's do this.
Awesome. Manifest it. Let's manifest it.
Yeah.
Manifest this. No, he's wonderful. Yeah, I think that's all I'm geeking out about currently, but there's got to be more somewhere.
Thank you so much, Jack, for being a guest on The Verse.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
This is lovely. Thanks so much. Nice to meet you.
Great to meet all you guys.
The Verse is produced by Steven Puzikowski.
Well, that was lovely. That went really well.
Yeah, Jack was great.
I'm glad you're on board with us, Norm.
Completely on board. But Dorothy, just better get that door repainted.
Enough about the door. It's been over half an hour. We have to get to the next door.
Let's go!
Bye, Jaquad!